6:37, let's bring up our old friend who is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. It is Dr. Most. Doc Most, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Pete. How about yourself?
This is it, the end of the year, the beginning of a new year. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve. That means New Year's resolutions to get healthy.
How about it? How many people actually do a New Year's resolution and expect that they're going to complete it? That's probably the biggest question, because most New Year's resolutions are health related.
Do you write down your New Year's resolutions? Because I do. I do them every single year, and I've been fighting with my wife because I wanted to sit down and go through a few with her. Do you do those?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's a great thing to do. The number of people, the percentage of people who actually complete it, if you're going to pick one, is pretty low. I mean, most people are going to pick some of the more common ones, like I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to stop smoking. And those are all great, but often, unfortunately, we don't complete them that well.
So what do we do, Doc? Because most people want to lose weight. Where do they start? How do they keep these resolutions?
Yeah. You know, if you look in the literature right now, what a lot of physicians are pushing right now is something called micro-resolutions. So the person that says, I'm going to quit smoking on January 1st and really isn't prepared to quit smoking is going to fail. And then once you fail your resolution, it's like, well, I'm done. And they often won't share the resolution with others. So what we look at now is something called micro-resolutions, and look at having a monthly goal every single month. And you have a much higher chance of fulfilling that resolution, and the halo effect, as well as the perpetual continuation of many resolutions instead of just a single resolution, is key to our health.
Well, how do you start that, and how do you check in with yourself? Let's take quitting smoking for an example.
Yeah. The person that's, you know, quitting smoking is probably one of the biggest ones, because people say, I'm going to quit smoking January 1st, and yet they really don't. You know, the number of people that actually can quit smoking on a given day cold turkey is very, very low. But if you did a micro resolution and said, you know what, I smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, I am going to go to a half a pack for the month of January, February, whatever, pick a month. The chance of doing that is much better. So then after you finish that month, are you going to go back to a full pack? Maybe not. You may stay at a half pack because it still, you know, takes care of the need that you have for nicotine, but you've now made a healthy change that may continue. You may go back to three quarters of a pack. Whatever it is, if you can go to a half a pack for a month, the health resolution carries forward throughout the year, and next year you might be able to say, I'm going to go to a quarter of a pack a year.
So you just kind of
the day.
So you just kind of taper it off. My New Year's resolution is to eat healthier. I try to eat healthy, but I have a 14-year-old kid, and, you know, you're always running late. I feel like we eat out all the time. I'm sure because, you know, two working parents, there's a lot of people listening right now that are on their way to work. I mean, they have the same problem.
Yeah. And eating healthy, especially in the winter, is very difficult. Why? Because of a couple of reasons. One, we want those heavy carbohydrate-laden meals because it's dark when we get up, and it's dark when we come home. So we have a tendency to eat heavier meals in the winter. The other thing is that eating healthy often requires you to have fresh fruit and vegetables. In the winter, those prices go up because of availability, and then the amount of them goes down. So you might look at the grocery store and say, no, the volume is still the same. But you don't get the variety that you get as you do in the summer here. Or if you do, you're paying more. So that's a difficult one to eat healthy at this time of the year. Eating healthy for you, Pete, might say, hey, you know, I have a 14-year-old who loves fast food. We're going to cut down the number of times we go for fast food every month and do that for a month. It's amazing how much money you save and how much healthier you'll eat.
Boy, I just had this conversation with my wife. How many times a month do we eat out?
Yep.
It's crazy if you write it down, and it just makes you so mad. It's all about planning ahead, isn't it? Planning healthy meals ahead of time.
100%. If you want to do the eat healthy, then the really key is to take a Sunday or Monday, whatever day of the week you want, and plan your diet for the entire week and do your grocery shopping based on that. because if you wait till the last minute, you're going to go to the path of least resistance, which is often, let's go out to dinner, or let's just drive through McDonald's. Let's right. do something. Yep.
Let's get carry out. We're talking with Doc Most, New Year's resolutions. We're going to check weather and sports and traffic. But when we come back, I want to ask you about the plant-based diet. I was reading, I love Men's Health. I read that magazine cover to cover every month. I want to ask you about probiotics. I want to ask you about supplements in the new year. And when January comes, I have so many friends that do a dry January. I'm going to ask you about that when we come back. Dr. Kevin Most is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. And he's on the phone with us now. Plant-based diet, which is no meat, compared to the plant-forward diet, which includes meat. Do you do any of these?
I don't. You know, I don't think I could do a plant-based diet, to be honest with you. But, you know, it is healthy. So a lot of people are looking at it and saying, you know what is bad for my health? And often red meat increases our cholesterol, and yet it's a great place for protein. But a lot of people are really starting to go to more of a plant-based diet. I'm not a big fan of it myself, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of vitamins and nutrients that we get from other sources of protein beyond plants. But I couldn't do it. How about, do you like it? Or have you thought about it?
I don't do it. My wife just bought the fake meat, the Beyond. I don't know if it's called the Beyond Burger or whatever it's called at the grocery store. And I saw it in the fridge this week. I go, what is that? And she said, well, let's try it. Let's see if we like it. I'm like, okay, all right. So have you even tried the fake meat?
I did. Actually, it was kind of interesting. We had one of our meetings at Northwestern. We had that for lunch. And actually, it's pretty darn good, to be honest with you. And if you think about even like, all right, I'll go to the extreme, a Whopper.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at that,
yes.
The stuff that you put on the burger is almost as important as the meat itself. So if you put the right additions on it, you can have a great meal without even having the meat portion of it, and it'll still taste well.
Right. I when we started talking about the Beyond Burger, I thought of the Whopper commercials that I saw over the weekend. I mean, it looks pretty good, doesn't it?
It really does, to be honest with you.
You talk about the stuff that's on the burger. How about the salad dressing? People always forget. I mean, salads are great, but when you load it up with that high caloric salad dressing, you're killing yourselves.
Absolutely, 100%. People think, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a salad today. This is going to be great. But when you look at the number of calories and the grams of fat that are in a lot of the cream-based dressings, you have just offset. You might as well have had a regular meal. So really, when you look at your salads, one, definitely get the dressing on the side, which is extremely popular now.
Right.
So then you control how much dressing goes on. But look for that lower fat dressing. Oil and vinegar, much better than ranch, let's say, you know, as far as if you want to look at calories and fat content.
Probiotics, do you take them and do you recommend them?
Yeah, so people need to understand what probiotics are. We think of bacteria as things that are bad, and yet people have to understand that our intestines really require bacteria in our gut in order for us to digest food. So some people can go as why, you know, a lot of probiotics are out there. Yogurt, people don't even know it, but that is a probiotic, right? We have live bacteria in that yogurt while we're eating it.
Right.
In order for people who, let's say they don't do well with ice cream or milk, that's often because they don't have a bacteria in their gut, which helps us break down the complex sugar lactose into two simple sugars, glucose and sucrose, which we can absorb. We can't absorb lactose. So the lactobacillus is one of the bacteria that help our digestive system. So taking a probiotic is great for people who have digestive health issues, and it really is a healthy thing to do.
So
there's kefir, there's a whole bunch of them out there.
So people should get the probiotics. And here's my question for the probiotics, because there's a million on the shelves.
Yep.
Do you buy the ones on the shelves, or do you get the one behind the counter in the refrigerator?
You know, the one in the refrigerator is probably better, because you know that bacteria is live in there. The ones off the shelf, they're okay. But I would say if you wanted to be as healthy as possible and get the best effect, then go for the ones that are on the in the refrigerated areas of the grocery stores, the kefirs, the yogurts. Those are probably the ones that are going to be best for your health.
Well, the supplements are always so expensive, Doc. If you get the ones in the fridge, the probiotic supplements, those are like $30.
They unfortunately are. And some people are going to say, I have to take them all the time.
Yeah.
You really don't if you have good digestive health. But if you need help with your digestive system, it's often a great place to go. And there's, believe me, look at the GNCs of the world. They've convinced us that all these supplements are important for us, when in fact, the vast majority of them we really probably don't need.
Well, that was my next question, supplements. I feel like people way overdo it on supplements, and it's got to be affecting your body in some way. I know a guy that works out on a regular basis. He's a health nut. He's a gym rat, but he takes everything. Every supplement you can imagine, you know, the one for your bones, the one for your muscles, the anything and everything he is taking. That can't be good.
Yeah, it can't be good, but it's also not needed. So if you look at, we'll take vitamins. Vitamin D, A, E, and K are fat-soluble vitamins. So those are vitamins that we are going to store in our body. So like now, this time of the year, we have no sunlight or very little sunlight when we're out and around. So vitamin D is really important this time of the year. Vitamin C, vitamin B, all those other vitamins, they're water soluble, which means you eliminate what you don't need. So the guy that says, I'm going to take, you know, 8 million grams of vitamin C is a waste of money, because you're just going to lose it in your urine. So you just get rid of what you don't need.
Okay.
Others are probably important for some types or some people, right? So I look at calcium supplements, very important for women, very important for women over the age of, I'll say, 30, because of osteoporosis, and we start to decrease the amount of calcium we have in our body. So whether you get that calcium supplement from milk or ice cream, or you take a supplement is one thing, but you really want to make sure that calcium is in your diet, as well as exercise for those people, so that we keep our bones strong. But a lot of the other ones, Pete, are really kind of a waste of money, to be honest with you. I will say one that I take on a regular basis is lutein, and that is for eye health, because a lot of people will not realize how important that is.
Wait, spell it for me. I don't take that one.
L-U-T-E-I-N.
L-U-T-E-I-N, and that's for eyesight.
Correct.
Can I get that at the Jewel?
You can get it. You can get it anywhere, actually.
What about the supplements for prostate for men? You mentioned the women, the calcium for women, the prostate supplements. Is that a waste of money for guys as we get older?
Pretty much. You know, the biggest problem, the biggest thing with prostate is just prostate health and making sure that you're getting your prostate checked and getting, you know, because even the PSA test. So there's not a lot that they have proven as far as supplements for prostate health.
Okay. What about fiber? I take fiber pills on a daily basis. I used to do, you know, the Metamucil. I went in for a physical, I want to say about 8 years ago, and they told me two things that I needed to do moving forward. Number one, are you okay, Doc?
Number one,
take vitamin D, as you mentioned. D as in dog. And number two, take fiber supplements on a daily basis. But how much fiber, if I'm taking the pills that I'm buying from Target, how many pills should I be taking in a day? Should it be four? Should it be five, six, seven, eight? You tell me.
Yeah, so fiber is very important because it's for our digestive health. When you look at the number of colon cancer cases and the amount of colon cancers that are going up right now, even younger health, younger people, it is so important that we do have fiber. So if you look at it, it's not how many pills. What you need to look at is the grams. So you should have somewhere about 25 grams of fiber every day. Now, you'll get a lot of that in salads and some food, but a fiber supplement is very good for you. I take at least 10 in the morning and 10 at night.
Oh, wow.
So, and I take gummies, to be honest with you. They're very simple. What they do is they allow your colon to cleanse quicker. So it makes sure that we don't have chemicals, because we all had a bad diet. The chemicals and the things that can increase our chance of colon cancer will decrease as you use fiber appropriately. If you're on a high fiber diet, then you don't need the supplement. So those of you who are vegetarians and are eating a lot of fiber, you probably don't need the supplement. But if you're eating any other diet, then, you know, 20, anywhere from 10 to 20 grams of fiber is key as a supplement.
25 grams daily. Okay, that's good to know. And finally, I have a lot of friends that do the dry January to kind of detox. Does that really yeah. help if you start drinking again on February 1st?
It's interesting, Pete. I have a lot of friends that do that as well, but they usually choose February because it's the shortest month. But it's not a bad idea to take a month of complete rest from alcohol. Alcohol does a lot of damage. It increases our chances of a lot of different cancers. It does a lot of damage to our liver. So taking a month off is not a bad idea. But don't come back stronger. You know, probably the biggest thing is that, again, it gets to those micro resolutions, is if you're going to be someone that's going to go out and have a couple beers, intersperse them with a glass of water in between beers. You know, it's moderation instead of trying to completely quit. However, I do believe, and I do it, to be honest with you, where one month a year, no alcohol whatsoever.
Wow. I wish I could do that. I'm going to Mexico in a week and a half. So, yeah.
It's probably not the time to do it.
Doc, you're the best. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Happy New Year, and we'll talk soon.
You got it, Pete. Take care.
He is, he's great. I could talk to Doc Most for about 2 hours. He should have a weekend show here.